I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I'm your host. Weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, those freedom-minded. And I got a question for you. If you consider yourself a freedom-minded, liberty-minded individual, that seems to be pretty popular these days, particularly on the right. Maybe only on the right. But I have a question about that for you. Next hour, we'll have Cade Yates is coming in from Americans for Prosperity. We're going to start looking at what's going through the legislature right now as they are getting full steam into it. So I guess I'll go ahead and get into this because I'm sure we'll talk about this with Cade next hour. They came out yesterday. I guess they've got to just reconcile now this medical marijuana bill. Passed, I guess, the House yesterday. Now they just need to work out those small differences. The Senate may be willing to sign off on this. Anyway, the idea is that this thing is moving forward. I'm a proponent of natural health strategies, and nothing's more natural than using a God-given plant for people that can't find relief through pharmaceutical companies. And there's many of them, more of them than we know, because most people are still relying on pharmaceuticals and suffering all the bad side effects of them. So I'm glad that this is moving forward. It's just interesting to me. With all of this, I've heard some people thank different legislators for moving this forward. I get that. Mary Hawkins Butler screwed up the people's vote. Let's just call a spade a spade. She decided, because she could not micromanage this program within her city. And there's a lot of Mary Hawkins Butler fans out there. Look, she's presided over a tremendous amount of growth in Madison County. The quality of life in Madison County is good. The schools are good. I understand. At least I understand people who look at Mary Hawkins Butler and see that she's presided over some level of success in Madison. So I get that. But she did derail this thing out of her need to control everything in Madison County. So now we have legislators who are attempting to salvage this process as they go in and they, you know, they change a little something here or there, they micromanage this thing, and I'm having a hard time really thanking anybody for resuscitating a bill that was already passed at the expense of millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of man hours, getting the signatures, getting this thing on the ballot. I was involved in that process. I know what took place. And that was taken away from the people so the legislature could go in and impose some new taxes and some new fees and all of these other things, reduce the amount that Mississippians would be eligible for, because they think that's going to, you know, they act like marijuana is something brand new to the state of Mississippi. We've never seen this drug in the state of Mississippi before, and if we roll out this program and somebody has a little left over during the course of a day, it might end up on the streets. Now, I don't know what little cloistered shell you might live in, but let me break some news to them. Marijuana's been in this state for probably all of its existence. They act like we are bringing something brand new in here. Oh, we're going to allow marijuana into the state of Mississippi for the first time ever. No. You're just going to have a program where maybe people who are suffering are not going to be threatened with putting into a cage for using marijuana. But here's the thing, and I'm going to read. I've got a bunch of quotes of the day today, many of them from the Founding Fathers. I just found a thread of Founding Fathers quotes. A Founding Fathers quote from Sam Adams is, quote, "Our unalterable resolution should be to be free." Our unalterable resolution should be to be free. Now, there's a lot of conservatives out there, a lot of Republicans, a lot of people on the right who love the Founding Fathers. Then you should. I mean, they're genius men who sacrificed a great deal, fought a big battle to get freedom. But there's an Overton window, right? And the Overton window is it's the allowable debate within any issue. And the allowable debate in the medical marijuana issue in the state of Mississippi is, how should it be taxed? Where should we allow them to open a dispensary? How much should the fees be? How much should a Mississippian be allowed to get during a visit to one of the dispensaries? This is the allowable, the Overton window of this thing. And I am way outside of this Overton window saying, for you conservatives out there, I want to get inside your head. So if anybody wants to fight about this, you're welcome to call in 601-879-0002. As a free American, again, Sam Adams saying our unalterable resolution should be to be free. How do you explain the fact that you believe that I, as an American, should not be able to plant, grow, harvest, possess, and ingest a natural plant in a free country? I mean, how do you reconcile this idea where you don't believe that the government should be able to mandate that you take a vaccine, but they should be able to mandate what you can't put into your body? Now, there's a lot of motion around this issue. Well, you know, it's destroyed some lives. Well, so has high fructose corn syrup. So has gambling. So has alcohol. So have cigarettes. I mean, why do we stop on this sliding slope of, you know, danger to society? I heard a caller to the station the other day say, well, I don't want to have to pay for somebody's marijuana. You know, this idea that, you know, somehow some people that are on assistance are somehow going to get money, or they're going to use their welfare benefits to get their medical marijuana card and go out and get some marijuana for a condition, or maybe it's even bogus. I find that very interesting and arbitrary. What number of things could you say that you pay for? But you're okay with paying for Medicaid for somebody who sits around on the couch and does nothing but shovel garbage into their gullet for 40 years and then is on constant medical care on Medicaid. You don't have a problem with that, but heaven forbid somebody takes some nickel from the government and they actually use it on this plant. Now, I don't want to pay for anybody's anything. But if this is the basis of your argument that, well, I don't want to, you know, I want any of my tax dollars. What, you understand, yesterday they gave $200 million more to Ukraine. Just kind of arbitrarily, that's on top of the other billions that we've given to the country of Ukraine. I mean, I could spend, I got to be honest with you, when I came into the office today, I didn't have a ton of a show, but I could spend the next 2 hours just talking about all of the things that you're paying for. But this is one I just keep hearing. I don't want to pay for some dope heads X, Y, and Z. But the bottom line to conservatives and conservatives, look, I look at this issue again. The Overton window is all about how they're going to micromanage, what's going to be in the bill, what's not going to be in the bill, who opposes what, all of these kinds of things. Is it going to pass? You know. And I find myself just saying, are we free in the United States or not? There's a lot of talk these days about bodily autonomy around this experimental vaccine that has just become this Orwellian rite of passage for the hystericals out there. And we say, I don't want that injected in my body. You really don't want the government. We all cheer when the Supreme Court of the United States strikes down the Biden vaccine mandate, forcing employers to force the vaccine onto their employees. We celebrate that. Thank goodness we control our own bodies. But then on the other side, what seems wildly hypocritical is you say, but I think the government should control your body on what you can put into it. I get very frustrated looking at all the machinations of what's gone on over the last 2 years between the ballot initiative process, all of the effort, all of the money extended there, all of the support it got from Mississippi, all of the Supreme Court wrangling at the hands of Mary Hawkins Butler, all of the words coming out of Delbert Hoseman, all of the threats about vetoing a bill from Tate Reeves, all of the jockeying in the legislature. It's a plant. It's a plant. And simply by a bunch of politicians coming out and freaking you out about marijuana, the same way they have freaked people out about COVID for the past 100 years. Reefer madness. It's funding terrorism. Now, on the medical marijuana issue, I know I'm not really ticking a lot of people off, because 74% of the state of Mississippi, which is a conservative state, voted in support of medical marijuana. So a lot of you have already come to this conclusion that, hey, maybe we should allow people who have children who have 300 seizures a month access to a medicine that stops their child from constantly convulsing. So congratulations to the right for at least coming to that. I'm glad. I said that a little snarky. I really didn't mean to. It's good when people finally wake up and they throw the shackles of these control freaks off for long enough to say, yes, there is evidence that this is medicine and Mississippians should be allowed to get it. But the idea that we still listen to these people. I don't care if they're in law enforcement. I don't care if they're in the bureaucracy. I don't care if they're politicians. I don't care who they are. That we allow them to manipulate us and freak us out about a plant. And look, their motives are not anything about your health, just like COVID. There's a great deal of money to be made in black market drugs. There's a great deal of money to be made at the pharmaceutical level by keeping a competitor, a natural plant that most people should be able to buy seeds, plant, cultivate, harvest, and use. They want to keep that out of the hands of American people to keep you on the pharmaceutical treadmill. But this is a plant. Are we a free people or not? This idea on the right of freedom with this asterisk, and in the face of what we've just seen with COVID, knowing that your health authorities, knowing that your political authorities, knowing that all of these people are not honest with you, they don't care about you, and it has nothing to do with your health. Can you extrapolate that out and say, just because a bunch of guys and gals that we know to be a corrupt political class got together and said, we think this plant or this concoction is no good, so we are going to threaten to put you into a cage or shoot you dead should you resist going into that cage, should you consume this product, that is not freedom. We are free to make mistakes. We are either free or we are not, and you are seeing this totalitarian, this creeping totalitarianism. I got to tell you where it's got its roots. And some of those biggest roots of totalitarianism in this country is at the hands of the drug war, where we have militarized police, where they have battering rams to go into people's house for a plant. So this is a bit of a long diatribe. I'm just having a great deal of difficulty really thanking anybody for doing this thing, because I think that what should have happened decades, maybe a century ago, is for us to tell the politicians, sit down and shut up. I don't want my kids on drugs. So you know whose job that is to keep them off drugs? Mine. I don't want my friends doing things that may be harming their health. So you know whose job that is? That their family, my love for them as friends. But even conservatives, and actually on this one particular issue, when it comes to drug prohibition, it's mostly on the right has been really the sticking point. And luckily that is starting to change, I think. But for the love of God, all of these things are plants. Beer comes from a plant. Wine comes from a plant. Marijuana comes from a plant. Heroin comes from a plant. And obviously, there's an emotional component to this. These kinds of drugs can ruin lives. There's no doubt about it. But they're ruining lives right now with prohibition and with our jails full of people who did these things. I talked yesterday to somebody, a very well-thought person. I'm not mad at them at all or anything. They said, well, I think maybe we should decriminalize, but that just leaves in all kinds of... So it's okay if you use this, but you can't sell it. I mean, think about that for a second. You leave all of the things in there, like the unknown quality of stuff, so you may just actually kill people, and nobody can, you know, hold a business accountable for doing... So there's no incentive to really make a safe product. You can still get arrested for manufacturing or distributing these things. You just decriminalize it, basically saying, yeah, it's okay if everybody uses it, but nobody can actually get anything because we're going to lock up all the people who make it. I mean, it just... It doesn't get there. But this is about a plant. It's a plant. Again, I know I'm so far out of the Overton window that most people may not even be able to hear me from how far out of the Overton window I am. But I encourage you, if you are a freedom lover, and there's a lot of you out there these days, right? A lot of people have really rediscovered freedom, and I've got a couple of more Founding Fathers quotes that probably guide a lot of your thought process. But don't let I don't care if it's law enforcement. I don't care if it's a politician or bureaucrat or a political leader. I don't care who it is. Don't let them put an asterisk on freedom just because there may be some people who have bad consequences from that freedom. We have that all over the place. We have cars that will go, even though I guess the top highway speed in the United States is 70 miles an hour. We've got cars that'll go 160 miles an hour. Sometimes that ends in tragedy. Freedom is not without messiness. But ultimately, you either choose real freedom. I'm talking about real freedom, like going out and earning a paycheck and keeping all the money you earned. You go to an employer and you negotiate a salary, and what you negotiate is yours. There's nobody else that got their hands in that check. Again, so far out of the Overton window where the Republicans and Democrats dicker about whether a tax rate should be 25% or 28% or 32%. I say it should be 0%. They should be out of our pockets. That is freedom. Freedom is not somebody earning a living and the government saying, hey, you're going to give us a third of that or we're going to put you into a cage. That is not freedom in any way, shape, or form. I don't care if it's Trump talking about his tax, air quotes here in the studio, cuts. It's still not freedom. Freedom is to decide to give your government money because you think they do such great things. And I encourage anybody to use their voluntary donations to whatever organization, including the U.S. federal government, if you want to. But it is not freedom to just get a paycheck and see a chunk of it taken out. It's not freedom unless you chose that voluntarily. Anyway, we'll get the details of this bill. I don't even know what they've passed, to be honest with you. I haven't seen a draft of this bill. Cade Yates may be able to inform me next hour with Americans for Prosperity. But the bottom line is, man, this is a plant. All of this over a plant that could just help people. People should have been growing this in their backyards for the last 30 years and not suffering for 30 years waiting on a bunch of politicians to pull their heads out of their collective rears, to give people the freedom to grow this plant.
I want a girl with a mind like a diamond. I want a girl who knows what's best. I want a girl with...
All right, I may be a tad bit grumpy today. I don't... Anybody wants to call up, excuse me, and fight with me on the prohibition on plants here in the United States, you are certainly welcome. 601-879-0002. Just be warned, I'm on day four of my fast. I find myself maybe I've got a bit of a hair trigger. It set me off this morning. I think I heard on Clay Edwards' show one of the guys was breaking down the medical marijuana bill that's passed, and they've defeated home grow. You know. Citizen, slave, sharecropper, you can't have any seeds. No plants at your house for you. We'll still put you... You can go down to the store and get this stuff. If you go through the Department of Health and get a medical card, and then if you go into a store and buy it, but if you try to plant a seed in your backyard of the exact same product, we will put you in a cage. That's the new law. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? You know, the control. It's just, I almost just don't understand the right. Maybe someone can explain it to me. Maybe that person is here right now. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mr. Madison.
Hey, what's going on?
If this goes through, the medical marijuana, I bet you'll see a drop in the homicides in Jackson.
Well, if they would end the drug war across the board, as they, you know, and to remind people, there was no drug war in 1915. You could go down to your local pharmacy and get heroin, and we built a pretty prosperous country while that was going on. If they ended the entire drug war, then you would get rid of criminal gangs that support themselves by anyone selling drugs in the black market. If they would actually do that, you would certainly see a drop in violent crime. I don't know a medical marijuana, because here's the thing. The kids or gangbangers or whatever that are involved in the drug culture, nothing will change for them. They have already got weed, and they get weed a hell of a lot cheaper than it's going to be through the state of Mississippi by levying a bunch of taxes and fees and everything else that people have to pay. So I think your violent people now, it may chill some people out. That may be the case, but I would imagine a lot of people are already partaking anyway.
Yeah, you know, Louisiana has medical marijuana, and my sister lives over there. And the first time I ever walked in a store and bought marijuana was a couple weeks ago.
Down in one of the dispensaries in Louisiana?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's all around us. I mean, I've dedicated a good chunk of my time to trying to make this happen, and it certainly should happen.
And I noticed one thing, you know, when I was young, I smoked weed. And today, you know, if I do, it changes my elbow that I hurt a while back.
Yeah.
It just kills all the inflammation in my joints.
Well, I mean, you know, they've got opioids for that.
but it messes you. Your insides up when you do that.
Oh, absolutely. But it's a thousand different things. And you know, the funny thing is, too, with marijuana in particular, and I keep harping on this, it's a plant. It's a plant. It's just a plant. You know how many people die of overdose on marijuana every year? Zero. Yeah,
you
zero.
Know, I read the Bible a good bit, and God gave us the plants and herbs on earth. You know, I've always, brought that to mind.
Everything.
And another thing, you know, when I was younger, I grew marijuana, like you said, in the backyard. But I kept mine in a plant. You know, the female, the blooms when it comes out is a pretty pink. And I went and gave that to my grandma, and she wondered what it was, and I told her. She was cool with it.
Yeah.
She was, sure enough, you know, don't mess up kind of person. It's not, and the government made it as a evil thing.
Yes.
It's not an evil thing.
Yes, they used the war on drugs and the hysteria around that. And if people ever understood, particularly you people on the right, do you understand that the war on drugs was started at the UN? You know, all the people on the right are talking about, oh, we get rid of the UN. The UN's no good. You're fighting the UN battle. It was their idea that Richard Nixon took up at the behest of the UN to do this worldwide prohibition on drugs. And ever since then, big banks have been laundering drugs. I mean, there's just a ton of money in illegal drugs. And that's not an accident. It's not like Nixon didn't know what would happen if you shove all drugs into the black market and create gangs and all these other things. I mean, they knew what was going to happen. They saw it in the 1920s during alcohol prohibition. They knew what they were doing.
Nixon is probably one of the worst presidents we have.
Oh, he did some absolutely horrific things. Absolutely. As a Republican, and this is why I come on this air every day and talk about the idea that if you just vote for your party a little bit harder, that something's going to change. It's asinine to even still believe that at this point.
And And I got friends as diehard Republicans, and I got some friends, and it don't make no sense. Like you say all the time, follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, if that pharmaceutical company's not paying a Democrat, he's paying a Republican.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is no party up at the elite, the oligarch, the donor class level. The only color is not red or blue, but it's always green. And people keep falling for it and fighting amongst each other while these people at the top just sit back and laugh.
And
I
got to
tell you, they have been laughing about the full prisons for the last 50 years. They have been chuckling at that, the way that Americans have the most incarcerated population on planet Earth based around a bunch of plants. They have been loving it.
And the blacks, they fall right into it.
Yep.
It's just crazy how they can... And another thing, I was noticing, you know, in the old days, you know, the Indians got their guns and the cavalry come and shot them up, you know. The government always has their hands in some kind of way to either put another person against another person.
They have a monopoly on violence. The governments in all countries, not just ours, but they maintain this monopoly on violence, and it goes against all ideas of true freedom. Now, a lot of people have been convinced that we love to take those freedoms which are granted to us by our politicians. But they don't. Most people do not understand the nature of actual freedom, what it would mean to live in a free country. They've accepted so many bad prohibitions and regulations and all these other rest of the things from these busybodies who always make money off of these things. And marijuana is just the latest issue there. Hey, Matt, I got to jump to a break, but I really appreciate
sir.
The call.
Thank you
so much. All right. Talk to you later. All right. Quick break. We'll be right back. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I've kind of stumbled into a topic today. As I said, I may be a tad bit grumpy. So, you know, but I've got stuff. Biden gave his rambling, incoherent. I mean, I've got some funny clips from that. I'm sure I'll get to him maybe this week on the crazy train to think that this man is the president of the most powerful country on planet Earth. Holy cow. Well, I mean, we know he's not in charge. I mean, he's not running the show. I don't know if that's supposed to make us feel better or worse, but... You know, I've got that. I've got some COVID stuff. I have some evidence that I have had COVID and didn't even notice ever. But I ran across a video. I'll get to that at some point. The reason that I do in the drug war stuff on this show is because I know it's not popular. That's not the reason to do it. I'm not getting any big following because the vast majority of Mississippi conservatives are not, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying, well, this is just going to be a gateway to legalizing for adult use, for recreational. And what's your point? You don't believe in real freedom. Because some bureaucrat somewhere, some politician, somebody told you that this was an existential threat to the nation. And you believed it, same way you believed that terrorism, there was a terrorist behind every bush, so you gave up your rights to privacy, you allow the NSA to spy on every text message, every voice call, every email is stored and cataloged, because you believed there was a terrorist behind every tree. I mean, Americans giving up their rights so quickly, and the greatest quote ever, this may be the 10th time I've read this one on the show, and it's just so genius. Carl Sagan said, "One of the saddest lessons of history is this. If we've been bamboozled long enough, we tend to reject any evidence of the bamboozle. We're no longer interested in finding out the truth. The bamboozle has captured us. It's simply too painful to acknowledge, even to ourselves, that we've been taken. Once you give a charlatan power over you, you almost never get it back. I don't know how I got my power back. Because I believed in tax cuts, I believed in politicians who told me they were going up there for fiscal responsibility. I believed that we needed to have this strong military stationed all over the world and policing the entire world because we were the cowboys with the white hats. I believed a ton of things that I think now are just absolutely absurd. I believed in the drug war at one point. And so the reason that I do these segments, the reason I even come on here and say this, not because it's popular, because people may be tuning out right now. I like some of his stuff. But then he gets on this drug. The guy must be a big drug head or something. I mean, no. It is because at some point in my life, as I was starting to question, as I was looking at foreign policy stuff, as I was looking at this debacle in Iraq that had done nothing to us, and I started going, this is weird. This doesn't make sense. And then I heard people say some things, and I thought, oh, I'm not alone. That doesn't make sense. And then they started to explain why it was actually happening. And I went, oh, my gosh, they've tricked me. So my hope is that at some point, some people hear this, you understand the drug war is a colossal failure. But many of you want to still stack them like cordwood. If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Well, what you're admitting is, I like politicians to rule over me and let me know what is right and what is wrong. And when they tell me something's wrong, then I lose the freedom to do that thing. And this is exactly what's happened over the past 2 years. You can see that crystal clear. Talk about tyranny. I hate to tell you, this tyranny has been rolling out for decades and decades. The war on terror, the war on drugs, both of those were steps to this great tyranny, to this massive control. And so I just hope that somebody hears it and says, oh, well, you know, well, I guess you can say this stuff publicly. You know what I mean? Or maybe I stumble into some coherent thought that gets somebody to rethink their position on this whole thing and decide, no, I see now, particularly during the time of COVID, what it means to give up some of your freedoms for some level of safety. I see what a slippery slope that is. You just have to understand, we've been sliding down this slope for decades. And the war on drugs is one of those things that took us down this slippery slope. Do you understand you've created a situation where an American driving down the road with $6,000 cash in their car could be treated like a criminal and have that money confiscated? For no reason, no charges, no nothing. They have to go to court to try to fight to get it back. And if it's only $6,000, $8,000, $12,000, it might not be worth it because you'll spend more than that on legal bills. This is your free country because you've allowed the politicians to put an asterisk by the word freedom. Because whether it's drugs or anything else, there may be some people who have a problem with this. There may be a consequence to this freedom. There's always a consequence to freedom. We have the freedom to do a whole lot of things that can turn out disastrously, but it's better than the alternative, which is control. And you've figured that out over the past 2 years. Now just take this teachable moment of COVID restrictions that you rebel against and understand the other restrictions, they're no good either. You know, I want total freedom during the time of COVID. If I want to wear a mask, I'll wear one. If I don't want to wear one, I won't wear one. If there's a shot out there I want to get, I'll get it. If I just don't want to get it, I don't want to get it. You see all these things. But, you know, there could be a consequence to that to me. I could get sick. Maybe I die. I'm willing to take that risk. Other people may get sick and they may die. Now, of course, none of the mitigation efforts they've had for COVID have been the least bit effective. So people are still catching it, spreading it, contracting it, being hospitalized for it, and dying for it. So none of these even work exactly like the drug war. Nothing they've done has worked. You can't keep drugs out of a prison. But you think you can keep them out of the United States. So take this moment to understand a bunch of politicians and bureaucrats in control of your life and telling you what you can and cannot do never works. And it sure as hell is not anything even close to resembling some level of freedom. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, Mike. Good morning.
Morning.
I got something to contribute.
All right.
I know a young minister of the gospel that had a child, a young son, was having some digestive problems. So someone in his church said, well, maybe you need to try some milk from a cow that has not been pasteurized.
Oh, dear.
So,
crime!
Oh, yeah. So he did. He and it worked. The child was, for the first time, was having a very normal life. Somebody told, because this milk that he carried across state lines.
Oh, a federal crime.
The federal government got involved and tried to destroy this man.
Yep. Can't have raw milk here because there may be someone somewhere, even though they voluntarily purchase it and take their own risks, someone somewhere may get sick. So we have to outlaw the whole thing and we have to shut down raw milk across the country. And as a matter of fact, the SWAT team will go into a raw milk farmer's place, even if they've just got a few neighbors who have decided they want raw milk, have paid the farmer for raw milk. SWAT will go to that farm, bash everything apart, take the cow, destroy the milk, take all of the computers from the farmer, and destroy his life because maybe somehow, somewhere, even though these people are voluntarily doing it, somebody might get sick.
I think you got the picture.
Yeah. This is free in America.
Folks, we do not live in the land of the free.
Absolutely not. And we certainly have seen it over the last year. Not a brave country either. Thanks so much. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Got to take a break.
At first, I was afraid. I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong. I learned how to.
All right, we are back. Just one final segment, a couple of minutes left in the hour here, and then we're going to come back with Cade Yates from Americans for Prosperity, who's already in with us. Cade, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely, Mike. Always glad to be here.
I'm on a rant today.
I heard.
I mean,
I love it.
I just, it's a plant, man. It is a, this is a thing where God gave us a plant that produces seeds that grow in dirt, and you can harvest it and ingest it for a whole host of reasons. Some to change your state of mind for some people, like alcohol or antidepressants. I mean, you know, it is just, it's a plant. And I just reached this snapping point where I hear all of the back and forth, and the Overton window is all about, what are we going to get? What are they going to do? Yeah. What are they going to allow? What are they going to restrict? You know, this is the whole argument. And to me, and this happened when I was involved in the signature gathering. Mm-hmm. I sat in a room for 5 days listening about the ballot initiative process. I knew nothing about it, but I was going to be a part of getting the signatures for ballot initiative 65. And I was interested, and I didn't start the week off this way, but it was 5 days of full days. And at the end of that Friday, as we were kind of wrapping up, it just hit me. I've just spent 5 days listening to the millions of dollars and the hundreds of thousands of hours of manpower we were going to need to do these things to comply to the rules of the ballot initiative process and, you know, what happens in other states, too. And, I mean, by the end of the last day, I was like, we are talking about a plant, aren't we?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, we are not I can't even think of another reason that would cause all this stuff. It's a plant.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the hard part is like you said, we are operating in an Overton window that is, you know, for me and you. I mean, I grew up knowing that opioids destroyed family members and destroyed communities, and I saw the damaging effects of what some of these pharmaceutical companies intentionally put out there and did not tell people the side effects and all that. And I knew growing up, the people in my family that smoked marijuana that did not have any of the side effects.
Yeah.
And so the problem was, is, you know, we never really looked at it the right way. And so, you know, right now, again, yes, we have to operate within the Overton window because that's kind of how our political system in America works.
The power structure works. Yes. They've got us corralled into this. I just think that if people would start to free their minds and realize this is not about what are they going to give us, what are they going to take away from 65, you know, all of these things. And look, I guess I can understand some rules around this. I mean, we're a rules-based society, sort of, but still, at the core of it, how free are we in this country if we are sitting? I mean, if there is somebody with Parkinson's that has just been sitting there for the past year waiting to find out what politicians can do. Now, most of these people are probably already self-medicating because they want their lives back, but we have allowed a system that would put them into a cage.
Yeah. And that's the crazy part is we definitely do have a system that For me, I believe in the ability for someone to either walk away from the medical establishment, right to try, or if they want to embrace it. If that's their prerogative, okay.
Exactly.
But the problem is when the government walks in and says you can't have a plant to address the medical needs, and luckily the Overton window has changed in the last, 30 years, where on the Mississippi House floor, where 30 years ago there were people that were still chanting Reefer Madness, and I know there's some representatives and senators that still do, but we are in a different place, and that's just because we have seen that no matter what the state, medical marijuana does help people, and individuals can see it, and there are benefits, and so we have to be able to recognize that individuals have the right to try what's best for their medical health. And, for us, it's definitely always a good thing to try to reduce the size and scope of government. And next hour, I'll try to go into the new bill. Again, it's not a perfect bill. I think there's some things that I would have changed. And I think there were things that they tried to change yesterday in the House. But again, there is the bill we're getting is something that will at least get medical marijuana to patients right now. And so I am glad about that. And I think we can change some things over the next few years. So
I am thrilled to death for the people who need this, that it's finally coming. I'm just so sick and tired of watching it be batted back and forth for political reasons, deciding what we can and cannot have as a free people. Anyway, Cade Yates, Americans for Prosperity, we'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Thursday. We do our Freedom and Prosperity Hour. We're here with Americans for Prosperity. We're going to talk a little bit today about what's going on in the legislature. We've already touched on the medical marijuana, so let's finish this thought out. With this bill, I haven't had a chance to look at it.
Yeah.
I've been so angry.
I get it.
Just my reaction to the fact that we allow these people to nudge one thing this way and then one thing that way, knowing that none of it matters to a hill of beans. And one thing you and I were talking about off air, so they've taken the amount that a patient can get down. Okay, originally with ballot initiative 65, it was 5 ounces, right?
Around 5 ounces, I believe.
Yeah.
And then the Senate, after Tate had, some issues with that, throwing out numbers of a million joints on the street or something like that.
Yeah, Tate thought that it was excessive. So Tate Reeves' thought process is there's going to be excess marijuana out there.
Yeah.
Is he such a nerd? Is he such a dork that he does not understand? He went to Millsaps.
I mean,
he knows there's weed out there and has been since his days in college. Yeah. There are 100 million joints on the streets right now as we speak. No law in place whatsoever.
Exactly. No law, no testing, no professional facility handling them. And the crazy part is the 5 ounces, if I'm correct on that number, is essentially every other state. There's only a few states that actually limit it less than that because, again, you don't have to use that full amount. You don't have to go in and buy 5 ounces every single time. It's not a requirement, but it allows for individuals are cancer patients to go in and buy more if they need it.
Right. It doesn't go bad. I mean, you probably want to keep it around for a decade, but you can use, so if somebody had excess and didn't need it, maybe the next month they don't have to fill a prescription. They've got some left over for the next month. I mean,
This
is that. So they talked about it and lowered it to 3.5, now this new bill is 3.
Yeah, the amendments that were offered yesterday in the House were taking it down to 3 ounces,
So real quick, can you tell me, and I probably put you all in some awkward spots sometimes, so you can just do the cutthroat motion, so no one can hear you when I start. What numbnuts offered an amendment to take down 0.5 ounce to a cancer patient or a Parkinson's patient or somebody? They want to make sure, because obviously they believe that 3.5, that would somehow decimate Mississippi and we'd just be nothing but junkies. But 3 ounces, that's okay. Yeah. They felt the need to reduce this by another 0.5 ounce. That must be some really specific science they had there.
Yeah, I'm not sure where their numbers came from. I don't even know if it was just to
make it
easy. I
would imagine if you looked up their butt, you'd find out where they pulled them from.
Well, and the crazy part is, I mean, if you listen to the debate yesterday, this has been going on for months. I will give the people who worked on this bill some credit on trying to listen to everyone, but the problem was when you're not listening to patients, when you're not listening to experts, when you're not, you know, when you're not going in and saying this program is to help people, you start to cave to interest that are, you know, happen to be in counties where, you know, the mayor might have, you know, the mayor of town might have or did sabotage the program by going after it and all that.
Right.
So, but the whole thing is when it comes down to it, I understand what they're doing. I understand that there is this political game that they're playing, that they had to go out and listen to everyone and listen to the concerns. And so, again, luckily right now, I will say Lee Yancey, the main guy who defended the bill yesterday, the main chairman, went out and said, listen, we will have time to add more amounts back in the next few years. So I will give him that. I don't think he's not open to the fact that we can increase the amount if we see patients need that. Again, I think we will eventually get to 5 ounces back.
Here's the thing. Hey, dummies in the legislature, you busybody pieces of garbage. If somebody needs 6 joints a day and you're only allowing them to have 4, guess what they're going to do, dummies?
They're going to go to the black market.
They're going to go to the black market and get 2 more joints a day.
Yeah.
And now they'll have plenty of cover. I mean, when it busts in or catches, look, I got a medical marijuana card. And I only purchased my 3.5, you know. I mean, this just forces people right back into an illegal activity and emboldens drug dealers. At the very least, nobody is going to sit around suffering from nausea and pain with cancer or whatever and use marijuana, say, up to 4 o'clock in the afternoon and then just go, well, I guess I'm just going to be in pain and nauseous for the rest of the day until the law allows me tomorrow morning to start. You know what I mean? They are going to find it. And I mean, the more realistic thing is they'll run out in 5 days rather than 7 days from what they've done here.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to sit around for 2 days going, okay, I'm just going to suffer and be sick as hell for 2 days because whoever offered this bonehead amendment or because Tate Reeves, I'm just going to suffer for 2 days. I'll be good for 5 days, but I'm going to suffer for 2 days because Tate Reeves didn't want extra joints on the street. They're going to go out and buy weed from an illegal drug dealer.
Yeah, and exactly. And that's the problem is you know, with the black market, you're getting an unregulated, unsafe substance, so we don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
And so
This is just like life support for the black market for patients.
Yeah.
Of course, by not addressing it recreationally, you keep the black market firmly in control of, you know, the vast majority of people. But it's a different topic.
So, and a couple other things that I wanted to mention. So a few other amendments that were offered yesterday and were accepted by the House. Removal of the Department of Agriculture from the program, which is, I think, a good thing right now.
Yeah, well, particularly with Andy Gibson. I went down to the rally for medical freedom yesterday, and I saw him give an impassioned plea for medical freedom on the steps. And I asked the people around me that are all Andy Gibson fans, and I hear good things about Andy Gibson. He may be a great guy.
I think he's a nice guy.
But I just ask him, should he really be using the term medical freedom when he opposes medical marijuana so badly? I mean, that feels like a freedom issue to me as well. But anyway, not to knock Andy too much. I know there's a lot of fans out there.
Well, and that's the thing is I like Andy. I actually do a pretty great impression of him. I like him.
No, let's hear it.
No. Not on air. But the thing is I do like Andy as a person, and I think we grew up in the same ideas and mindsets. But, again, removing his department, I think, will make this program a little bit more streamlined. And I think there's some really great people out there that are working on this program, specifically some of the people from Initiative 65 who are going to the Capitol every single day and working with the legislature to make sure that they are keeping some very important pieces of the Initiative 65. Now, again, taxes did go up, you know. I know. I think it's a 5% excise tax, 7% sales tax.
Now, that's the same tax that's levied on pharmaceutical company medicines, too, right?
No.
What?
Exactly. And this was brought up yesterday heavily.
Yeah.
Heavily. And, again, I'm not saying this is right. Again, I don't necessarily agree with the thinking. But their whole argument yesterday was that the 5% excise tax will go to cover any burdens that an unintended medical marijuana program would have. Again, not saying that's a representation of what I believe or what the organization believes, but unfortunately, that cost will be passed on to
consumers, patients. Excuse me. Let's use the term patients.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what it is. And so,
the last bill I saw had some pretty huge licensing and ongoing.
Luckily,
fees.
All that's been rolled down pretty heavily.
Good.
There are the ability for micro grows. There is no outdoor grow. There is no home grow in this.
What's the thinking behind not allowing outdoor?
So,
security issue, supposedly?
There's probably, from what I've heard, there is the security issue. You have the, I think there is about a little bit of a limiting who can grow. Because
yeah,
I know
so
in
have
Oklahoma.
You have to build a facility rather than be able to just.
Yeah,
because
I know in Oklahoma, which is like the boogeyman state for medical marijuana right now that we've been compared to hundreds of times, and this is not an Oklahoma program, and in the least bit, because like Oklahoma is like 8 ounces, and they allow outdoor grow and all kinds of stuff, and when it comes down to it, their whole thing is they've had a lot of outdoor grows get hit by natural weather occurrences and all kinds of craziness. And apparently the state legislators having to look at how those individuals are recovering. And it's just,
you mean like farmers do?
Yeah, farmers.
Every
yeah,
year yeah. with every single crop
exactly.
out there.
Exactly. So, again, I'm not sure the thinking behind why they limit it to indoor grow only. But luckily, you know, I do know that they mentioned like micro grows and, you know, specialty grow and stuff like that.
Home grow is a no-go.
No, home grow is a no-go. Yeah. Again, those are things that Freedom would take care of in a free market program. And I hope that we can eventually get to a place where Mississippi allows individuals to access the medical needs, whether that's grown at home or whether that's an individual, you know, going to a local, not pharmacy, a local dispensary. So, but like I said, I think right now the program that we have is the program that's within the Overton window of Mississippi. And so again, luckily patients will be getting it. Another key thing that I think I should mention real quick is just the fact that we do have legislators are not allowed to be in the program until 2023. So like the beginning of it, there are limitations where legislators cannot be involved in it. So
you mean in the business of
In the business side of it for the first 6 months or so. And so, you know, I think they were trying to do something there of limiting some sort of corruption or, you know, and I think there were actually some legislators that offered amendments yesterday that would have upped that. But again, you know,
that to be such a non-issue because there's been a lot of suspicion that money has been flowing in, particularly from this guy, this oligarch, marijuana oligarch up in Arkansas, that's been funneling money into Mississippi to try to defeat this for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
So they're not involved in these politicians on the take from this guy up in Arkansas. They're not involved in the industry, but they're benefiting from being, you know what I mean? I mean, money's sloshing around everywhere. That seems very symbolic and kind of silly to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's definitely one of those things where they are trying, but again, I think they're missing the point of a free and open society that allows individuals to choose what's best for them and have a free market program, which again, later on, I do want to hit on, you know, the healthcare, you know, market and why it's not a free market system. And that's why we have such ridiculous healthcare costs. And, you know, if an individual wants to walk away and try medical marijuana, we've limited that. And so again, right to try is a huge thing for us and a huge thing for individuals. So,
I think the home grow thing is really kind of funny to me. So just to be clear, we want to make sure we're doing a public service announcement here. Nana. You got to go to the store and get your weed. If you grow the same product in your backyard that you can go get at this thing, Nana, we're going to have to put you into a cage. Yeah. Because, you know, it really matters where this comes. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so aggravating that it's a plant.
Yeah.
It's a God-given plant.
Exactly.
Love of God.
Like I said, we've got a program that is going to be getting medical marijuana to patients.
Okay, so real quick, we got to jump to a break, but so where does this stand? How quickly would this happen? We know, and then what's expected of Tate?
I'm not sure about the actual full timeline right now on how long it'll take to go back to the Senate and to approve those amendments that were made.
Are they under pressure to do this pretty quick?
I think so.
And
I mean,
does not need to languish. I mean, there are people that are suffering right now for a year longer than they needed to.
And the key thing is this would immediately, once it goes to the governor's desk, which, again, to speak on that, I personally believe the governor will not sign it. And luckily in Mississippi, if the governor does not sign it, then it just goes through. It's not that it goes back or anything like that. It's just it goes through without his signature. So he's not approving of it, but he's not stopping it. The worst thing that would happen is a veto, and that's where it would we would have to go back to the House and the Senate and say, hey, listen, we've got to override the governor. This program needs to happen. I just don't see him doing that. So I'm hoping that he recognizes that the legislature worked hard to get the things that he wanted changed, and now it's coming to his desk, and I hope he signs it. But from what I know about the system, I think he's just going to boot it and not sign it. And luckily, from there, once
he's take the absolute wimpiest way out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the hard part is you know, for him, he's backed himself into a corner where I don't think he could sign it if he wanted to. But hopefully does.
The whole Tate Reeves administration is just an enigma, a mystery wrapped in a riddle of some of the decisions that he's making. It's surprising to a lot of people. And I don't know if he's focus grouping or taking polls. And, you know, I don't come into contact with that many people in the grand scheme of a 3 million person state.
Yeah.
But I see nobody who is big fans of Tate Reeves right now. Yeah. I mean, and the people who are the old establishment Republicans.
Not a big group anymore.
Yeah, and they're not going to be around for much longer. So, you know, I don't know. Political calculation is very strange. But anyway, well, okay, I'll begrudgingly say thank you to the legislators who are actually going to get this program functioning so that people can start to get relief sometime within 2022, hopefully. You need to get scurrying, get moving on this. But at the same time, for the love of God, a Republican-led – I'm just so sick of hearing Republicans and conservatives talk about freedom and then trying to put an asterisk behind it every time they say it.
Yeah.
Freedom that we allow is essentially what they mean.
Yeah.
Anyway, talking to Cade Yates, Americans for Prosperity, we'll start looking at some other issues when we come back. Stay with us.
Right into this world, all alone, God takes your soul.
All right, we are back here with Cade Yates from Americans for Prosperity. So the session is in full steam now, so we've covered medical marijuana. What else are y'all really paying close attention to? Big issues on income tax and all kinds of things. So what's up next?
Yeah, so first off, I think one of the biggest things yesterday, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, Michael Watson, Secretary of State, held a press conference about tackling the tape. Usually the Secretary of State's office is pretty much just that regulatory body. And
it sits in the background.
Yeah, nothing really crazy.
Elections and that's it.
Yeah, nothing really crazy. But I'm telling you, this guy was a champion in the Senate, and now he's being a champion in the Secretary of State's office. And so he's trying to tackle the red tape, which is this enigma of 200,000-plus regulations in Mississippi that are federal and state and local and, you know, stuff that, you know, certain individuals put in to protect organizations or some were for air quotes public health or for whatever. You know, there's all these things that are just being piled into this big ball called regulation. And so luckily, several champions along with our interim state director, Forrest Thigpen, stood behind him yesterday in an effort to say, listen, there are people out there that want to work on this issue and work with him to work on a bill and work on positive legislative solutions to cut red tape in Mississippi.
So how would that have to go through the legislature? Can he strike down anything?
So there's a couple options. So one of the best ways, it's the legislature, because they can cut larger sections out. With his power, it is sort of limited and localized in his position. But from what I've seen on the legislative side, they actually do have the ability to enact, you know, laws that can actually reduce the amount of regulations and also pretty much command these unchecked government bureaucrats in these government departments to start cutting regulations. And so that is the good thing about the legislative elected body, is they do have power over the bureaucrats in some level. And so I believe that's one big part. Now, the other part is there's the Occupational License Review Commission, which was set up last year through a bill where if a new regulation is created, the governor, the Secretary of State, and Lynn Fitch, the
Attorney General,
all have to sign off on a new regulation. If a new regulation comes up, they have to meet together and sign off on it. And so luckily, if it's a bad bill, if it's a bad regulation, you know, I do think Tate is good at saying no a lot of times. And so I think he could be a very good person on that. Again, I haven't kept up with Lynn Fitch's, you know, record on this. But Michael Watson, like I said, was a champion in the Senate, and now he's been a champion now. And I know actually back when the Department of Health went after doctors for the COVID stuff by saying, hey, we'll take your license if you spread misinformation.
The medical mafia.
Yeah, I mean, that was a regulation, and Michael Watson sent a letter saying, hey, listen, you're creating a regulation without the Occupational License Review Commission's permission.
Oh,
and
I like
so
that.
Yeah, so he was actually able to kill that. And so, because he's not going to sign off on it, and I know Tate wasn't going to sign off on it, hopefully. And so, I'm still hopeful somewhere that there's some part of that no person that was in the Senate that was Tate at one time. But like I said, yesterday, you know, having us and several other people that are on the right stand behind Michael Watson and say, hey, listen, we're ready to tackle the tape to make Mississippi a place where people can open and operate businesses and own and operate their lives freely in a society where the market forces are what cause the biggest pushes.
What would Mississippi, where would we rank on red tape and regulation type stuff?
I mean, we are definitely in one of the worst places. I know we're not in the bottom 10, but I believe we're in the bottom 20 at least on freedom. I mean, we're in a pretty rough place.
Yeah.
And I know Mississippi's just not the best place to own and operate a business. I mean, again, it's better than probably California, but I mean, there's a lot of places better than California. And so for us, we definitely need to be looking at how can we make Mississippi the best place for people to move here or people in Mississippi to accomplish the American dream that we always talk about. And so that right there is the biggest thing, is tackling the tape and getting those this bureaucratic red tape out of the way and making sure that we're not adding regulations that kill the drive for businesses. So,
which we desperately need here. We need employment. We need good paying jobs. I mean, I don't know. I'm so far out and have no political experience that I'm sure I can be just seen as naive. But it's amazing to me the lack of creativity and particularly in the last 2 years, the lack of any desire by a super red state like us to try to emulate the Floridas and the Texas. You know, Tate did remove restrictions quicker than a lot, but just to really be this time, Mississippi's not going to get a whole lot of opportunities to really separate itself from the crowd.
Yeah.
But COVID was that opportunity. It was that time to go, hey, businesses who don't want to require their employees to get the shot, come here. Businesses that don't want to pay this or don't want to pay that, or you know, want a low cost of living, come here. Now is the time. We are the free state of Mississippi.
Exactly.
I don't think we're going to see that opportunity to that degree maybe ever again, but who knows?
Yeah, no, we won't. I don't think we'll have that opportunity again, because again, you had Texas and Florida set themselves apart. And so that's why we want to work with individuals across the state and bring people to the Capitol and talk about the issues like cutting regulatory barriers so Mississippi can set ourselves apart. Again, Texas and Florida have natural and other things. We'll never be Texas and Florida in some ways, but we can set ourselves apart in allowing Mississippi to be an economic powerhouse where individuals can come in and try things.
Well, you know, we're never going to be Florida and Texas, but I don't see a reason in the world why we can't be Tennessee.
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
you know,
no,
we can
beat our neighbors.
They got some pretty mountains up there, but you know, Tennessee has done really, really well. Yeah. No income tax up there. They're attracting people to Nashville like crazy.
Exactly.
I mean, that town has just blown up the last 20 years. So we could be them. There's obviously a lot of opportunity for Mississippi to do the right thing. It's a shame Jackson is so locked down in terrible hands, but that hurts us. But you know, Mississippi, I think, certainly could make some moves.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we have some real opportunities in that. And so, I definitely did want to bring up the red tape piece. And again, if this is something you care about, you know, next Thursday we'll be having our Capital Day. And so if you go to AFPMSCapitalDay.com, that's AFPMSCapitalDay.com, you can sign up and start to come down to the Capitol and actually talk to your legislator about eliminating red tape in the community around them so they can open up businesses. And if you're a business owner, we would love to have you to talk to legislators directly. And the best part is, even if you don't, showing up shows that AFP yes. is a powerhouse, that if we walk in and say, hey, it's time to cut red tape, people listen.
Right.
And that's what they do. I mean, we are standing with good people, good policy principle people that believe it's time to make Mississippi the we believe in Mississippi, and we believe is an opportunity to create a opportunity zone in Mississippi that allows an individual to come in and set up a company, or individuals in Mississippi to allow them to reach the American dream that is what America is about. So,
well, you know, I thought about it the other day. You know, people showing up for Capitol Day, if you're not really prepared to talk to your legislature, unfortunately, my house guy is Joel Baumgar. I got no complaints about anything else.
Yeah.
I think he's ever done. So I have nothing to do but stop by his office and go, hey, great job again. You know, he's always on the right side of things as much as I've seen. But
your listening
area
covers a lot of people that can make a lot of difference.
Yeah. Well, and being there too, just letting your legislator know or your senator know, you know, just saying, hey, you know, I'm with AFP. AFP is helping me hold you accountable. They're letting me know. And, we want economic freedom in this state. So you need to listen to these guys, because they're going to be the people that kind of push that narrative.
Exactly.
So anyway, so that's Capitol Day. That's next Thursday,
next Thursday.
11:30.
Doors open at 11 at Old Capitol Inn. That's where we'll have our, you know, no cost to you dinner or lunch, and then we'll walk over to the Capitol. Yeah, so that's always a good selling point. But 11:30 is when the program will begin. We'll have a couple local SPN partners, State Policy Network partners, that'll partner with us and talk about good and bad policy are coming through. And then we'll also have Senator McDaniel just talk about being a legislator
right.
and what it means to come by and talk.
He's a good draw. I like listening to Chris.
He's always a great guy.
Great.
Yeah. And also, the best part is we're also going to talk about the things that we need to kill. And that's a good segue for me into Medicaid expansion and why AFP Mississippi is against Medicaid expansion. Again,
let's take a break and we'll come back to that.
Because
that's a big topic. One question real quick, just a theoretical question. If a guy was, say he hosted a radio show from 9 to 11, and he might be a little bit after 11:30 getting to Old Capitol Inn, will he still be able to get a lunch?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Hands down.
Okay. I think that's a public service to the audience. There's probably a lot of people out there where they're thinking that same question.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, taking a break. We're talking to Cade Yates, Americans for Prosperity. Stick with us.
Tear my heart open, I sew myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much, and my scars remind me that the past is real.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining us. We're doing our Freedom and Prosperity Hour with Cade Yates from Americans for Prosperity. I want to remind everybody, today I'm on day 4 of a fast. I think I just told you that. So this is a painful announcement to make. But the Gathering Restaurant, today is Red Beans and Rice Day.
Right.
So I knew I was doing my fast this week, so I ran to the Gathering and got the guys from the station to go with me. They have got the best red beans and rice. Mm-hmm. Their food across the board is very, very good. I'm a big red beans and rice fan. Matter of fact, I need to stop talking about it because it's starting to make me hungry. But that's the Gathering Restaurant. Today's Red Beans and Rice Day, but every day has got great food there. They're at the corner of Highway 22 and 463. They got blue plate specials every day for lunch. They've got the Gathering's famous fried chicken, as well as the best fried pork chops on earth. Homemade gumbo. This is brutal. And tomato basil soup is served all day long. They also, at night, they've got butcher cut steaks, fresh seafood, golden brown fried catfish, savory pastas, and delicious salads. And they also do a brunch on Saturdays from 10 to 2 o'clock. So, got live music out there on Sunday nights, but they also do, the Gathering does, family meals to go. So for those of you who don't feel like cooking, you're running a little bit late, get some good quality food at the Gathering and feed your family that way. They are at the Livingston Mercantile in the town of Livingston, and that quaint little, looks like an old southern town. It's a great place to go visit. You can check out LivingstonMercantile.com, Livingston Mercantile. I said tile the first time, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Teal, tile, tomato, tomato. LivingstonMercantile.com. And you can get a link there to the gathering, see what all they've got. But go check them out. It's fantastic food. Great atmosphere, too, and the staff's really friendly. So check them out. All right. What do we want to tackle next here?
Yeah. So biggest thing is we know that the lieutenant governor has mentioned, not by its traditional name of Obamacare or Medicaid expansion, but some other fancy term to push through Medicaid expansion. And
what is he calling it? We're talking about Delbert Hosemann,
yeah,
right?
I can't even remember. Like, I mean, I know it's always going to be, listen, we're leaving $1 billion on the table. We've got all this federal money that's just floating around, and we've got to use it. And we at America's Prosperity just believe that anytime you're taking this bait and switch money where you're going on the hook for
right.
more money that just magically flows from the federal government, you're going to have negative consequences. I mean, we are literally taking, I think right now, depending on which numbers you look at, because I know the numbers change from year to year, but we're looking at about 700,000 people on Medicaid right now. And again, you know,
In Mississippi. Out of the 3 million people, 700,000 are on Medicaid?
Yeah, Medicaid or CHIPS or some sort of...
Holy cow.
Yeah. And the crazy part is they want to add another 300,000 people. And so a third of the state would be on some sort of government assistance for health care. Listen, I understand that, like, individuals do need help, but there are ways of addressing market needs in health care outside of just taking this... what some people call it, magical money that just appears in your bank account every month from the federal government.
We used to have such a functioning medical system back in the 50s and 60s where the costs were extremely reasonable. People were more healthy. They didn't need as many things. And then we had these things called charity hospitals where people would actually come out of their pockets because Americans are generous people, and they would support hospitals, and they might get some corporate sponsors or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would take these people who need medical care that cannot afford it. And it worked beautifully. Nobody was dying in the streets. And now we're led to believe that if the government doesn't provide these things, everybody's going to just be dropping dead in the streets or in their homes.
Well, and that's the problem is these promises are made by federal bureaucrats that say, listen, despite our $30 trillion in debt right now, despite the crazy inflation, despite the unimaginable weight that our federal government is under right now because of what they've done over the past, you know, 15 years, 20 years of 50 years of just spending money recklessly and wildly, they're making promises they can't keep.
Yeah. We got 120 or $150 trillion in unfunded liabilities going forward.
I mean, the crazy part is you can never look at someone that doesn't have their house in order and take money from them and take them on their word that I promise I promise it'll always be there. I promise I'll always send you your money. When at the end of the day, we cannot afford as Mississippians to take on this burden of Medicaid expansion, because they always say we're just leaving money on the table. It won't cost us anything. That's not true. When the waivers run out, when the federal government doesn't pay anymore, Mississippi will be on the hook for every single person on the Medicaid programs. And again, we're not just coming out saying, listen, you know, just deal with the medical problems. You know, we are offering solutions. We talk about certificate of need laws that would increase the amount of access in healthcare. We stand for the rights of individuals to their right to try alternative medications. We stand for telemedicine, being able to access a doctor from rural areas into a medical facility where the doctor can see you for minor medical.
These are all free market things that have been proven to drive costs down across the board and anywhere they're tried.
Exactly. And so, again, we're not coming out here going, you know, just deal with it. You know, we in Mississippi have the ultimate opportunity to step away from where other states have taken Medicaid expansion and learned quickly that it kills the drive for private businesses to own and operate a healthcare insurance program that allows them to, you know, access higher quality healthcare insurance than what the federal government offers.
Yeah.
Anytime government gets into healthcare, there's always going to be negative consequences. And so we are 100% against that. And so that's why Capitol Day is so important, is because we need everyone to come down and make sure that their legislator knows, because we do have, luckily, you know, the Speaker of the House and Tate have both said they're against it. But when the pressure comes and when the money keeps coming in and the special interests start talking from the hospitals, because that's the crazy part, is the hospitals are always going, listen, we just want a little bit more federal money.
Yeah.
Because they're not actually operating within their needs. They're paying, you know, $50 for a Band-Aid when if you actually had a free market healthcare system, because America doesn't have that right now. And it's actually moving more towards the single payer system. I mean, California is trying to go to a single payer system for the whole state.
The whole state, including illegal aliens.
Yeah, and cover, yeah. I mean, I think it's $4 trillion or something. Great. It's more than the entire state budget of California.
Yeah.
And so that's what you get when you get federally ran healthcare, a system that doesn't work for you. And so.
So what is what are the chances right now that this would actually make it through this session?
I'm not sure right now on the percentages, but the problem is we always know the money's out there to keep the pressure on. We know that there Republicans that stand up and, I mean,
this
again,
is a supermajority Republican state, and they might seriously be at risk of expanding Medicare.
There are a lot of Republican states that fell to the idea that, listen, we're leaving billions of dollars on the table. That is a lie, and we cannot accept it. We have to stand against this. And so that's why things like Capital Day are so important, because, again, the minute that we let our guard down, the minute that we stop working, the minute that we stop showing up to the Capitol and stop talking about Medicaid expansion, that's when they throw it through. I know there's bills out there. Every session, there's a Medicaid expansion bill that can always sneak in and get passed if we don't stand there in the gap and say something.
Yeah.
And so we've got to stand up.
I've got a friend that I've always thought was gay. I mean, I just thought that there was a possibility he was gay. And I was always kind of sad. I was always just thinking, you know, just come out and tell people. It must be really torture to live that life and not be able to come out and tell people. When is Delbert Hoseman going to come out of the closet as a Democrat? It's got to be eating him up to have to pretend to be a Republican so often.
Well, and that's the crazy part is I don't understand why there are several legislators out there that talk a big game when they're at your front door saying, I'll never raise your taxes, I'll get government out of health care, all these things. And then they walk into Jackson, they take the money, and they run.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the crazy part is we at America's Prosperity have to – that's what we're here for. We're here to call out those individuals and say, listen, we are not going to be afraid of making people mad. We're going to stand here in the gap and make sure Medicaid expansion doesn't happen. We're cutting the red tape. We're making sure that the income tax is a fair elimination and making sure that individuals – we are actually cutting taxes. And so I'm hoping that this year we can actually make some real pushes and changes. We're an economic organization. That's our whole goal. That's why we don't get into certain things. But luckily, we do have an army of activists across the state of Mississippi who can show up next Thursday and talk to their legislator face to face, or just show up and just be a presence there saying, hey, listen, what Forrest and what Cade says, you know, there's numbers behind it. There are good quality economic studies behind what they're saying. And we as a voter think these are the best ways to address the problems in Mississippi.
Yeah.
So,
yep. All right. Well, good. Well, that's another issue for Capital Day next week. We're talking to Cade Yates, Americans for Prosperity. One more segment. We'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will it catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment. We only got a few minutes. We're here with Cade Yates, Americans for Prosperity. Again, Capital Day is next Thursday. Come down and grab lunch at the old Capital Inn at 11:30. Opens up at 11 o'clock. And then are y'all taking everybody by bus down to the Capitol from there?
We should have – I know we have two buses coming from North Mississippi with activists there, so we should be able to bring everyone from the old Capitol Inn over to the steps of the Capitol to take a picture to kind of send out to everyone and say, hey, listen, these are the people that are coming by. And then from there, there will be time to tour the Capitol, go by and talk to your legislator. We have these cards that have constituent cards where if your legislator is not there, you can leave your name,
list
information.
Of demands.
Yeah. <they're, laughs> well, I mean, it does have issues that you care about.
Yeah.
And so you leave those there. And luckily, your legislator should have a phone number on the website to where if they don't call you from that card, you can call them a few weeks later and just say, hey, listen, I came by your office. I dropped off a card. I would like to talk to you. Can we grab coffee or can we, you know, can I come by your office down at the Capitol? You know, I know this is a busy time of the year, but the best part is having these conversations one-on-one is a huge thing. But again, if somebody is not up to date on the issues, or, you know, they are passionate about the issues, but they don't want to talk to a legislator. Again, every person counts, being able to come down there, wear a pen, carry a binder, and just say, hey, listen, we are here with AFP, and it's time to start making some changes in Mississippi, because we see what the federal government's doing. We see what federal side is doing, and Mississippi has to take a long, hard look at what our future will look like if we don't stop, you know, feeding off the
We got to get federal off government. The teat. We
exactly.
Got to get off. I mean, it's. I think it's going to happen at some point. It's going to be really painful if we're not prepared for it, because the government's going to go insolvent.
Exactly. And that's what we're doing, is we are offering healthcare solutions. We're offering, you know, trying to eliminate the income tax, so more money's in your pocket, so you can start businesses, take care of your family, make whatever decisions you want with your money. And then making sure that we're not falling for traps of Medicaid expansion or bad policy out there. And so, again, that's why Capitol Day is so important, because it's your voice being heard by your legislator. And also, you do learn things. I mean,
I think it would be a good event to bring you, get your kids to sit out of school. They would learn more going down to the Capitol and seeing what's going on and walking the halls, just seeing what it's all about.
And they get to meet really cool people. Again, like Senator McDaniel will be there, and I'm telling you, a couple years ago I had a small group go by the Capitol, and meeting him, they weren't his constituents. These were people from Madison and Rankin County, and the way he talked to them and the way that they were able to go and meet with other legislators, it really made their day to be able to say, hey, listen, I made a difference. I actually went by and talked to someone.
Yeah.
And so, or they just went by and just said, hey, listen, I care about these issues. I hope you do too. And when we go back and talk to them later, because that's the thing, is Capitol Day is when individuals come up there. But after Capitol Day, we are constantly up there talking to people, and other champions in the Liberty community are up there constantly going, hey, listen, I know your constituent talked to you about this. It's time to make a change for
you. Yeah.
So,
all right, you got like 25 seconds. You want to do income tax real quick on where we are with that?
The House passed a version of the income tax bill with taking tags down to 50%, a bunch of other incentives to help retirees. But again, we applaud those efforts, but we are definitely still on top of it, trying to make sure that we get this bill into a better place where it's a more responsible bill for elimination of income tax. So we're excited about that. But again, Capitol Day next Thursday, AFPMS Capitol Day to register, AFPMSCapitalDay.com to register.
So. Okay. All right, great. And Americans for Prosperity Mississippi on Facebook, just to check out what else they're up to as things go along. Thanks, Cade, for coming in.
Absolutely, man.
All right, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
No
Bye-bye.
Matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.